Andy, look at that city skyline behind you.
That's really pretty.
Thanks. I have it open because Cheddar was looking out the window. I guess I could close it, but
it's pretty nice. Can we see Cheddar?
He is in my bathroom right now. He'll come out.
Okay.
Sometimes he likes to sit on the toilet seat and just like kind of cry. So
I think he's the same.
Who among us, right? Who among us?
I know it's really relatable, so I'm just gonna give him a moment.
Well, something in there will be the start of the episode, but as you all know, I don't know how to start the episode, so it'll either be something, or something along the lines of "Welcome to Late the Movies." My name is Ben Holt. This is a podcast where my friends and I get to fill in our movie blind spots. Each week, we'll pick a film that either I or a guest hadn't seen before, and really should have by now. This month is Oscar month. All current, I guess, not so current anymore. Best Picture nominees. So we're kind of just, you know, we're Calvin balling it. They're all new enough that it counts for everyone. This episode in particular, there is at least one person who hasn't seen it. We're talking about Barbie and our guest, left, right, across your podcast, Al, except when we're on Discord, I go clockwise. Andy.
Hello. Sorry. I was on mute and I couldn't find the button. Hello.
Aquiel, hey, what's up?
Hello. I am the one who had not seen Barbie until this past weekend.
Yeah. Craig, he's in the next slot on mine. And then Jeffrey.
Hey, everyone. I did not see Barbie in theaters, but I saw it in our home theater once it was available streaming.
Hell yeah. Did you use the projector?
Sure did.
Nice. And Kate.
Hi, everyone. I saw Barbie twice in theaters and then with Jeffrey in our home theater. Second time was with Ben.
At the IMAX. So we saw the most Barbie that anyone saw because they made the screen, or they made the picture fit the whole screen. So
much Barbie, and there were outtakes. That was great.
There was.
No way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll get to the movie in a little bit. But first, as always, we like to talk about anything anyone has watched recently. Fair game.
What I'm watching?
Yeah.
Below Deck.
I know you've been watching Traitors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. UK Traitors. It's like a competition reality show. And, you know, like Traitors in the U.S., it's like reality stars come in and you have to like guess who is a traitor. Like they're assigned roles and you have to like guess who is the traitor. And each day and night, somebody gets murdered or banished until it's like down to a few people. And the people who are not traitors try to get the traitor out.
Is that the one with the controversy where the guy accused the trans person of being the traitor just because?
I know what you're talking about, but was it that was not like that show? People. Yeah, it was with Peppermint. Do you know Peppermint, the drag queen?
I do not. No.
Okay, we'll chat about it later.
I'm talking about a lot of cultural.
We watched the best documentary shorts nominees in theater. I think that was the last thing we saw.
Oh, nice word. What theater did you go to for that?
I think it was called the Cape Theater or something like that. Oh, cool. It was on the Cape, obviously. Yeah, just a fun format to watch for a change.
I think of those, I only saw Last Repair Shop.
Okay. I like that one a lot. I don't even know which one won, actually.
It was that.
It was? Oh, okay.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Those were great. I really liked the book banning one, too. That was a good documentary short.
Aquiel, you watched the new live-action Avatar series, I think?
I did not finish it, but I did watch the first half, and I have a lot of thoughts. It was okay for what it was, but it wasn't Avatar. Like, it was not what I was expecting at all, even a little bit. They did great. The kids did great. Really happy for them. I feel like the writers... We went with telling, not showing too many times, you know.
That seems to be a common misstep for adapting like beloved animated things recently. Is that also on Netflix or is that somewhere else?
It's on Netflix.
I'm in the last episode of Love is Blind right now. I'm in the middle of it.
What's like the loop of that show? Like what happens?
There are a bunch of people that are in pods. And you are in a pod and you date people in other pods. You can't see each other. And then eventually you like whittle down your dating pool to fewer people. And if two of you fall in love, you get engaged sight unseen, and then you meet. And then, so, at, you know, it started with, I don't actually know how many people, I'm going to guess 20. And then there were five couples that got, you know, quote unquote engaged. And then you go to a resort for a bit of time, and then you move back to your home city. They're all from the same city. In this most recent season, season six, it is Charlotte. And they have a few weeks of living their like regular-ish lives together. And then they have a wedding. And by the time we get down to wedding, there are only two couples left that have not broken up. And the big, you know, punchline of the whole thing is at the altar when each person has to say, I do or I do not.
Are they incentivized in either direction?
They're not incentivized. There's no cash prize other than the love of your life. but the whole premise of the show is like, wow, you fell in love without ever seeing the other person. But they're all just very conventionally attractive. And I mean, which is like the most common critique of the show.
Well, I don't know. Do you remember last season? And I don't think that he was bad looking, but Irene and what's his name?
So I've only seen season one and season six.
Okay, never mind. Please go back and watch the, like, I think season three, four, five. They are so toxic. Like, it's juicy. It's juicy. Ooh, it's one girl left in this man's face. Like, truly straight up. It's so good. It's not. Jeez. That's not good. It's not good for her to do that. But it was entertaining. Watch.
I'm in.
Okay.
I'm going to watch it. There was a pretty...
There's like four restaurants in Charlotte. It's...
Well, yeah, that was the thing. I was like, if these folks lived in
Providence... should have found each other already.
There's Charlotte. No way. There's no way they could do this in Providence. They'd have to like really, really interview people and knowing each other before they started it.
Yeah. Small town for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I watched the Oscars. Thought it was better than it has been for the last few years at least. And I don't know. It was fine. I was harder to get worked up this year because I liked for the most part all the nominees. So that'll be my thing. Also, I saw Dune 2, the biggest movie of the year. I liked it.
Well, I've heard that's really good.
It is really good.
As someone who has no idea what Dune is about, like, I don't know what that... What worms is it?
I'd watch part one before you dive into part two, for sure. There's not a lot of hand-holding. Barbie, a one-minute plot summary.
Do it. Let's really test this memory in real time. Okay, so Barbie is about Barbies. So it starts off in Barbie land, and everything's going good. Margot Robbie is the stereotypical Barbie. But then she notices that some things are not going good anymore. And I'm going to skip ahead. You know, during this point, we start to see that Ken has feelings for Barbie, but Barbie doesn't have feelings for Ken. And Barbie is still experiencing these weird things. So she goes to see the weird Barbie. And the weird Barbie is like, dude, you got to go to the real world and find the girl who is like, who you belong, well, who's playing with you. So she goes to the real world and she finds the girl. But the girl was like, Barbie sucks. And she goes with Ken. That's an important point. She goes with Ken. Ken starts to like learn about the patriarchy and, you know, how you're so cool And he's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to tell all the Kens in Barbie Land that dudes are so cool. So he goes to do that. And they like start to take over Barbie Land while Barbie's still in the real world. She meets the mother of the girl. They go to Barbie Land together. Turns out the mom is the one who is connected with Barbie, not the little girl. Sorry, this is really long. I'm almost done. They go back to Barbie Land. It's really different because the Kens have taken over. The Barbies that were still there have been brainwashed and are serving the Kens. So the Barbies make a plan to take all the other Barbies back and then get them back to the way they were. They do that. While the Kens are distracted fighting each other over, you know, the girls they love. Yeah, they reestablish Barbie Land.
Yeah.
And then Barbie leaves. Barbie goes, she does not stay in Barbie Land. She goes to the real world. I think I got it.
Yeah, I think you got it. You got it. So I recently learned an acronym at work where there's so many acronyms. BLUF, bottom line up front, right? BLUF.
Yes. I love that. Yeah.
So, not to skip to the end, so we don't have to get into this specific question too much, but I am really curious. You can take this question however you want, but just want an answer from everybody. Did this work for you as a movie?
Mostly.
Interesting.
Yes.
I think we lost Jeffrey again. I feel like he's been talking for a while.
I
can't
mute myself. I was saying yes. It worked for me. I liked it. That was entertaining. Good twist.
Me too.
I think it worked as a movie. Just like writing style and design and all that. As a political statement, it's all right. But as a movie, it was really good.
Okay.
I think that's mostly how I feel. That's my mostly is like, is it the like feminist masterpiece that people are making out of it to be? No, it doesn't work for me as that, but it's a good movie. It touched me. I will say.
I
cried, but that's not abnormal for me in movies.
Me too.
Agreeing with Kate, I'm assuming on crying during Barbie, but how about at crying at movies tip like often? Because that seems to be a thing for Kate, maybe.
I don't usually watch movies that I think will make me cry.
Fair enough.
It's not for me, I don't think I do either. There are just some surprise moments that make me cry in movies. Like the most atypical crying moment I've had was in It's a Bug's Life, I would say. And my sister is still
making. Can we try and guess the moment?
Please go for it.
Is it when the caterpillar gets wings at the end?
Nope.
Oh, that's beautiful though.
It is beautiful.
Did you just combine It's a Wonderful Life and A Bug's Life into one?
I did. I meant Bug's Life.
Okay. Just checking.
I love when Flick is running down Main Street and he says, oh, you old building and loan. Anyway,
I got the joke.
Thank you.
Do you guys typically cry at movies, and did you cry at Barbie?
Go ahead.
I did not cry at Barbie so far as I recall. I'll cry from time to time. I'm probably a little more likely to do it for, I don't know, something that feels a little more realistic, I guess, or more lifelike or something like that. But not unheard of, but I did not cry for Barbie, I don't think.
Yeah, just when like an old guy dances, it's just beautiful, you know, that typical archetype in a movie. No, I mean, this won't shock you. Yeah, I cry during movies pretty. Maybe not all the time, but sometimes for sure. I don't think I cried during Barbie. I think the if I had to pinpoint one moment, the one that gets closest to working for me. Oh, I should say I like this movie. I do think it mostly works. There's some specific stuff that doesn't work for me. And that's, I think I've mentioned at least to most of you outside of this already, that like all the Mattel stuff just sort of feels like it doesn't work at all for me. And so the big self-realization moment comes when she's talking to Rhea Perlman, who plays Ruth Handler, right? And that's when stereotypical Barbie, played by Margot Robbie, has like the big self-realization moment, and the Billie Eilish is playing, and there's the montage that happens there. And like, that's, it's all good stuff, but it's still like, that's a real person who did like get in trouble for tax fraud or whatever. And so, yeah, I think that's probably it for a lot of people. I think that the best, or maybe the purest moment, least poisoned by capitalism, is on the bench at the bus stop with the old lady. Because there is something about old people being happy that is sort of shorthand for like tear-jerking moment. Mm-hmm. And notably, that's the moment that was sent up in the pre-Oscars clip that Jimmy Kimmel was inserted in before the show started. So, but generally, yeah, movies can make me cry. Yeah.
I was just curious. Sorry, let me go back to the actual movie.
Did you cry?
That's a good question.
Did you answer?
I don't think I did. I think Ryan's might have gotten the juiciest, like the first time she saw. All right, why are you shaking this?
The terrible way to describe one's eyes. That's all.
the both times that she saw is Ruth, right? Did I make that up? Yeah.
Gotcha.
That made you cry?
Yeah, a little juicy.
Or like that's when you got closer to crying?
Those were the
juiciest eye moment.
Yeah, those were the juiciest moments in the whole movie for sure.
I hate that.
You just have like a moisture meter on your eye.
Yeah.
Desert juicy crying.
Yeah, that's about, yeah, not what I
got. No idea where we were, but yeah, so the movie, you start in Barbie land, people are saying hi Barbie rapid fire. Here's a fun fact. The fact that I'm bringing it up would make it a pretty bad trivia question because you probably know what the answer is. So instead of asking, you know what, I'll ask anyway, because this is how I've started my sentence four separate times now. Guess what movie has the title said the most in it of any movie ever?
Is it Barbie?
It's Barbie.
Oh my God.
The actual number is, I think, over 250 times. And yeah.
There's a trick to that. If you want that superlative, you just make your movie title one word that is a main character's name.
Yep. Several main characters' names, for that matter.
Yes. And make it a bit that they all call each other by name and greet each other constantly.
What if, what a niche bit idea, but what if somebody made that happen in Oppenheimer? Just because it's also a name.
Hi, Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Should have done that. Ah. Oh. It's too bad SNL takes summers off, because that would have been gold.
If you hadn't had asked the question in this context, I think I would have guessed Air Bud. Right?
Does anyone even call him Air Bud in that movie?
Yeah, he's on the team. He's Air Bud, right?
Is his name not just Bud?
Is it Bud? I thought it was Air Bud.
All right, Googling Air Bud plot summary.
I haven't watched it in so long. No, cut this. I'm embarrassed.
No,
I love how much space it takes up in your brain.
Yeah, no, the dog's name is Bud.
I thought it was Air Bud.
You canceled. Sorry.
What about Shazam? I feel like Shazam would have been a good.
Shazam probably has a lot because he has to say his name to do anything worth watching.
Right. Or Wonder, what's the Wonder Twin? Do you know what I'm talking about? Were they?
Nope.
Wow, this is your generation.
The Wonder Twins?
Yeah. Were they like
brothers? What?
No. What? Come on, no way. They're like Wonder Twins Activate, and that's from DC.
Straight up. What year do you think that came out, saying that's my generation?
I was going to say like the 90s.
1977.
Okay, well, never mind.
Why do you know the Wonder Twins?
My father.
How old was your dad born in the 90s? Probably
not. Do you think Ben? Do you think Ben and your dad are the same age?
In my mind. No, I'm kidding.
Daddy Ben.
Yeah, it happens. Not just saying it happens as a thing. Like, literally, that happens all the time.
People think you're their dad.
No, you think I'm from the 70s and was forming memories in the 70s. Oh, no, I have to keep this now, because what a great transition. Who's your favorite non-main Barbie and or Ken?
Alan.
Yeah, Alan's great.
Yeah. I love it when he beats up the Kens.
Michael Sarah fighting's always funny.
It's always so funny.
Always funny. That's why Scott Pilgrim's the best movie ever made.
Oh.
I mean, I like Simu Liu. I can't say his name right now.
Yeah.
A real soft spot for him.
Yeah. He's very solid, too.
Yeah, he's good.
I'm going to pick two, just because I can't pick. But for the Barbie, Issa Rae, of course. And then for the Ken, Shuti Gatwa, only because he's the new doctor. And that makes me happy.
I didn't know that. That's cool. Has he had episodes come out yet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Are they good?
Right. Right. Good question.
I didn't mean for that to be like a gotcha.
They're out.
Well, at least he's having fun, I hope.
He is. He's wonderful. It's just the writing is different, but he's great.
Yeah. The cast in this movie is just pretty incredible. I think all the main Barbies and America Ferrera also really solid.
Y'all touched on a bunch of the Barbies I liked, but Kate McKinnon also fantastic.
Oh, yeah. She's so good.
Had a great bit with Steven Spielberg at the Oscars on Sunday also.
Oh, yeah, she did.
The production design in Barbie Land, it was obviously a main talking point. It goes to show actually building sets with highly skilled artisans and filming your movie in those sets. Who knew? Instead of shooting everything in a conference room in Atlanta, like 12 Years of Marvel has, this movie looks incredible. It's kind of a letdown for me when they leave Barbie Land, but then they go back and, you know, the whole thing is other characters also want them to go back. And so I can agree with them in that moment too. But yeah, the look of this thing when they're in Barbie Land is just phenomenal.
Very good. It made like child me really want that set to play with.
Yeah. I guess that's probably like a good touchstone we should establish was any dream house owners from back in childhood days in the chat.
I did have one. I was not super into Barbies until I got a life-size Barbie that I got to share clothes with. That was amazing.
Say more.
Like how big?
I was like three. So it was, you know, I just wasn't like a doll kid in general. Like loved, you know, chopping the Barbie's hair, etc. So it was probably the height of a three-year-old, and it was wearing a wedding gown, and you got to just trade clothes all day long. Yeah, I don't know why life-size Barbie wasn't discussed more, including in the Barbie movie, but it was fantastic.
I played with a lot of Barbies. I was very much a doll kid, and my best friend that lived when I was younger lived in my neighborhood, and after school I would go to her house because she had more Barbies than I did, and they all, and she also had Bratz, and I wasn't allowed to have Bratz.
Why?
And as a doll, they were probably like too sexy. I don't know. I think they're like Barbies had like just a different image than Bratz did.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we played all the time. We did like Barbie's Olympics, and she also had a hamster. So like the hamster was like a big character in all of our storylines. The Barbies had friends and enemies and jobs and like we're Olympic athletes. And we had a little Barbie swimming pool. It was really fun.
Okay.
But no dream houses. Yeah, I never had a dream house. My friend didn't have a dream house. I just like made stuff for them. That was part of the fun.
Yeah. It sounds like they have had rich interior lives, much like the Barbies in this movie.
They did.
Cool. Aquiel, you ever mess with the Barbies?
Yeah, I used to play Barbies. I think I had maybe dream houses. I'm like 90% sure I did. And then I had like a regular dollhouse that I think I used more. But me and my cousin are the same age, so we like played all the time. Yeah.
And of course, for me, growing up in the 50s, we didn't. It was predating this whole era, so.
That sucks.
Didn't the first Barbie come out in the 50s, that way?
All right. We're going to fact check each other's jokes, whatever.
I'm just saying, be better.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. They had, like, what, an I Like Ike badge or something. Who knows? Oh, speaking of the first Barbie, I think that's the costume that that Margot Robbie's wearing in the 2001 send up at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Stripes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With their bangs, curly bangs.
Yeah. That's a very funny sequence. I liked it.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
I like that it just goes right in with a 2001 Space Odyssey reference and is like, not a lot of people that think this movie is for them are going to get this referenced to a 1960s sci-fi masterpiece that most people think is too slow and long to watch these days. Certainly most children probably wouldn't be into it, but bold choice and, you know, Greta Gerwig putting a stamp on this is going to be very weird right from the beginning, which I do appreciate. And then they go to the real world and there's a couple Chevy commercials for about 20 minutes and then the movie's good again after that.
I didn't mind
That's an overly reductive way to put it, but
I get what you're saying.
There's funny bits in there. I like that they keep getting arrested.
Yeah, I do think that part went on for too long. I was like, I've seen enough of the real world. I want to go back. Largely for the set design.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be all Barbie in the real world. Like that one movie with the princess, redhead that gets...
Enchanted.
Yep, there it is. Thank you.
What about
Mannequin?
The one with Tyra Banks?
Yes, the one with Tyra Banks.
Life size. Yes. Eve's great. Yeah. And where she goes. Oh my gosh, so good.
Was that a Disney Channel movie? Or was that just
Aquiel, did you say played you on see
Disney
that?
Channel?
I did not see that. So
good.
You have to see it. I feel like I could sing every word of that movie.
Sing?
It's not a musical. They're just, it's got a really good soundtrack. And there are musical moments, I would say. Maybe it's a musical. It's a light on the music musical.
I'll be honest, like, my main, like, association with Tyra Banks is not acting. Like, I didn't know she acted.
She's done some acting, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, this was when the world was Tyra Banks crazy. Next top model.
And also,
Tyra Banks talk show.
Lindsay Lohan is in it, we should mention.
Yes, should mention. Yeah. I was close, so it's not... It wasn't a Disney Channel movie, but it was a made-for-TV movie that aired on ABC, which is owned by Disney. Also, it's a Disney-owned channel movie.
So good. You should do life-size on this podcast, Ben.
Well, there's like a couple other classics to get to first, but it can't be that many, right?
I can't think of a single one.
What theme would that be? Like dolls coming to life month, because there's like a lot actually.
Just dolls. You can do like Chucky, yeah. Life size.
Yeah.
And that new one. What's her name? Anna?
Oh, Megan.
Annabelle. Oh, well, yeah.
Okay.
Annabelle. I guess Megan counts, right? That's like Megan? Built as an android that's supposed to ambulate, whereas most of these other ones are not supposed to move around.
Or you could do ambulation month.
And I think it's pronounced Mithrigan, so just get it right. Anyway.
I muted myself while laughing there, so you're going to have to insert a laugh track. So.
It's really tough. Sometimes people do like back away from the mic when they're laughing just because like everyone's gotten used to Zoom now, but it makes it hard for me when it sounds like no one laughs after a really solid joke connects. Anyway,
you should record all of us laughing for laugh tracks. Creek, creek. When I lived in Malaysia, the kids used to constantly, when there was an awkward silence, just go creek, creek. I loved it so much.
That's fantastic.
That's so cute.
That is cute. Well, in the real world, Kent discovers the patriarchy, and that sequence is fun. And I like the montage that it is implying that is just playing on screens in the lobby to an office building in Century City. And it's just like a montage of like bald eagles and Humvees and like horses, pretty much.
I like Bill Clinton.
Yeah, right. Say just like random guys.
Yeah.
It's a very American way of thinking about the patriarchy, which is really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely like a Manifest Destiny westward expansion frisson to the images presented.
No, you're so French.
Oui.
Okay. I did like that part. I loved that the idea of the patriarchy was like men in furs and horses. Like boiling it down to those, like that imagery. I thought was really funny.
Comes way later, but I do like when he's sort of apologizing at the... Oh, no. I'm saying the thing I'm about to say comes way later. But I like when he's apologizing and he says, like, I sort of honestly lost interest once I realized it wasn't about horses primarily.
That was great.
Yeah. How good is Ryan Gosling in this movie?
Excellent.
Yeah.
I know not everybody liked the I'm Just Ken like sequence in the movie, but I thought it was great.
Those people are wrong. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I thought it was in a long line of movie musical dream ballet sequence. And it's just awesome. Sorry, I cut you off, Hogwheel.
No, I'm just like, do they not like the concept or how it was executed?
I think they just didn't want, like, what I'm heard, it was just like too long and unnecessary, but I thought it was completely necessary and not long enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Too short and vital. So,
yes.
That's how I feel too. Also, those sequences. That it is sort of playing in the archetype of always go on forever. That's like part of it. So that's probably on purpose. But I thought it was good. Ryan Gosling did it at the Oscars and he did a really good job.
Yeah, that was really good. Did you see it compare? Like, I didn't realize that it was like a play on one of Marilyn Monroe's performances at the Oscars, where she's wearing that pink gown and like she's surrounded by men in tuxes with striped shirts on, just like Ryan Gosling is surrounded by men in tuxes. I'm forgetting the song that she's saying. I didn't realize that, but I saw it on the internet, like side by side shots. And I thought that was weird.
She's surrounded by dudes when she's doing Diamonds or Girl's Best Friend. Maybe it's that.
Was it an Oscars performance?
Oh, I don't know. That's in the movie, but this is a performance she did at the Oscars.
Yeah.
Okay. I misunderstood. I don't
know. Might have been that. It could have been that. I don't know. I thought I did a good job.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely favorite performance of the two Barbie songs that went off. No offense to Billie Eilish. I just don't have as much fun with ballads as I'm just can.
That's an opinion.
Yeah. It wasn't as entertaining. But she won an Oscar.
Yeah.
She did.
I'm not saying it's a bad song. I'm just saying as performances go, one had like, you know, an A-list celebrity doing funny stuff and one was just a lady standing next to a piano.
An A-list celebrity sad. Okay. She's A-list. She's up there.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. But she was just standing next to a piano.
I wish I got Nicki Minaj.
And she's not even British.
Ellie wants him to be
so
bad.
That dude's name is Phineas O'Connell, okay? Like, he's not California coded, right? Name-wise. I don't know.
Who?
Her brother.
Oh, okay.
Like produces her music and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like co-writes or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So that they co-write, I assume, because he also won an Oscar when she won an Oscar. They went up and accepted it together. Their second one.
The only Oscar moments that I've seen are Ryan Gosling's performance in John Cena's bit. So I need to go back and watch Billie Eilish.
Word on the street is he was fully nude during that sequence.
I was wondering.
No, I saw behind the scenes he had a nude patch.
That makes more sense just from like a safety and not getting fined by the FCC.
I'm getting arrested. You can't flash that many people.
Live television.
I'm sure there's in like a live performance setting, there is something like that. That's what all the fine print on any ticket you've ever bought says is like you might see John Cena.
Yeah, they have like a delay.
You accept that risk
after the 2005 Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, there's a dump. Even on radio, there was a 7-second delay. You can always hit the button. But yeah. So it's good. It's good stuff. Sorry. This John Cena's in this movie.
Oh yeah. Like 30 seconds. That was a good job.
Yep.
Is he? What does he do?
He's hanging out as a merman with Dua Lipa in the ocean.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was great.
He's a thirsty guy. She hands him a beer.
Nice.
Yeah. So good. Cool movie. Yeah. So they go back to Barbie Land after America Ferrera and her daughter accompany Margot Robbie back. And yeah. I don't know. It's good stuff. Stuff happens there too. We haven't mentioned the Mattel executives, and that maybe is, I might have foregrounded disliking that too much. Maybe we've been afraid to bring it up. But while in the real world, they go meet Beryl in his boardroom of dudes. And yeah, that stuff is there. I
think I liked it.
It's like there's funny parts in that, but for me, I guess this specifically, I don't want to like talk around it or anything. I just want to make sure there's room for other people to talk. But for me, it's like, if you take all the Mattel stuff out, the movie is shorter and I think tighter, and you don't really lose any of the stuff it's trying to say.
Makes sense.
Like, what, and also, without the Mattel? Oh, go ahead, Raphael. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, yeah, if you make the mom work somewhere else, just like regular, I guess it works. But if you're going to make the mom work there, then you need the guys.
Yeah.
I think I liked the premise of them and the mom working there. I just needed less time of them. I liked the chase scene. That was great. And the twisty tie art. But like, just no other minutes. Just like, these men are boring. 2 minutes max. Mom works here. She doodles. Mm-hmm. Barbie gets chased.
I think for... Yeah, no, they didn't need to. They're so extraneous to that whole conclusion of the movie. Like, they just have to spend some time with Will Ferrell being like, we're here too, and we're fine with this conclusion. I don't know why we came. But I just feel like maybe if there was more like obvious consistency in the motives of that whole group of dudes, because they're set up to seem like extremely dumb, that's consistent throughout, but also sort of malicious. And there's like really ominous music playing while they're trying to make her go in that box. And then she literally runs away from them. But then later on, they're like, no, this is what we wanted the whole time. It's just hard to track what they're doing and why.
I agree. Like, they wanted her to not be in the real world. And once she went to Barbie Land, like, they didn't need to go. Like, why did they go to again? They wanted her to go. She went. You know?
Yeah. I think they wanted to make sure stuff like went back to the way it was in Barbie Land. But then also the company was happy because they were selling so many Mojo Dojo Casa houses. So like I said, it's just like not very clear what they want as characters in this narrative. But anyway, I'd have bought a Mojo Dojo Casa house, I think. I'm sure they have actually sold those IRL, but yeah.
I don't know. I think they needed that pressure. Like, what would have driven her to go back to the real world? Like, where would that pressure be if she wasn't, if like they weren't chasing her?
Fine, Ken. She didn't know anyone.
Yeah, wouldn't well,
she
that...
wanted to fix the, like, the ripple or whatever. But I feel like it needed, like, extra pressure. And it probably, my guess is that they probably needed to include Mattel somewhere in the movie.
Yeah.
Based on a contract with Mattel or something.
That feels, yeah, not that, I don't know if that's been confirmed anywhere, but that's what it feels like to me. Maybe that's what I'm brushing up against too.
And I feel like when they're in the real world, it's very corporate and it's like more ominous. And like you were saying, the motives were a little bit different. And when they get to Barbie Land, it's like a more obvious shift because they're in Barbie Land. They're not in the real world. That's what I kind of took it as.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair.
Real interesting, like, demonstration of product placement and, like, branding and the, like, no press is bad press idea. Like, Mattel is obviously on board with being like, whatever, we're the evil overlords. You're about to buy a bunch of shit from us. Mm-hmm. which was just fun. To, like, they probably did sell Mojo Dojo Casa houses IRL and make a bunch of money. It definitely sold weird Barbies for a minute.
Yeah, that's...
Do you guys have weird Barbies? Is that really like relatable to you guys?
Oh yeah, yeah. I definitely used to chop the heck out of their hair.
Me too. And give them tattoos. Mm-hmm. It's part of the story, Aquia.
Oh my god, I did that. Like, I put, like, lotion in their hair because I was moisturizing it. But, like, that's about it.
Oh, salon.
Yeah.
You were respectful to your Barbie.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a rough week and you just wanted to give them, like, one day to themselves.
You didn't think they needed more hops.
So maybe like one or two, and then I saw it and I was like, oh, so then I stopped doing it.
Turns out their hair doesn't grow back.
Yeah, it's like real plastic.
It does not look good when you cut it off.
No,
some blunt, real blunt edges. Can't give a Barbie layers.
Did you guys play with, like, I don't know, G.I. Joe, soldiers, Kens?
What year do you think G.I. Joe was, like, at its all peak? Right. Like 1965, probably?
Yeah, probably.
It's a real theme for you here.
Yeah. So just because, like, time-wise, what was hitting real hard was dinosaurs. So there was a lot of, like, Jurassic Park and dinosaur stuff. And then I think, like, most people, pre that, for me, it was trains, train sets and whatnot. So she gets back there, and as we've been talking about with the Kens and the Mojo Dojo Casa house, the patriarchy, in a sense, in a very superficial sense, has come to Barbie Land. And there is, in just a few short days, or it's like overnight or something, the Kens in the legislature will pass resolutions to make all these changes permanent, to change it to Kendom. All the Barbies are brainwashed. And main Barbie loses hope, kind of. America Ferrera tries to leave. Alan fights a bunch of Kens. They go back. They all end up teaming up with Weird Barbie and the other kind of strange outcast Barbies. America Ferrera gives a big monologue. Then they start, like, mentally detoxing everyone. The montage of them distracting the Kens to, like, grab the corresponding Barbie to de-brainwash them is some of the funniest and most niche comedy stuff in the whole movie. It's really funny. And I think it's gotten, you know, it gets to the heart of a lot of, I don't know, particular, you know, like the part, I think it's Issa Rae who, and I forget which Ken it is that she's like, can you start from the beginning watching The Godfather and explain it to me every step of the way the whole time? Very funny. Playing on a lot of specific insecurities that I think some guys might have who like giving context to movies they're watching. There's a pavement joke in there, which is very niche. That's a 90s alternative rock band.
So how did you guys think about, or what did you guys think about, like, how the movie tackled feminism? Like, do you think it did a good job or no?
I think me and Jeffrey should talk about this exclusively.
100%. We don't even need to talk.
I think I didn't like it. There should be less. That's my takeaway.
Less feminism.
Yeah, just generally. No, I think it's probably with whatever prompt they were given to get the money they needed to make this movie, maybe this is the best you can do. And I do trust Greta Gerwig a lot as a writer and as a director. Her other movies are awesome. I love Lady Bird and Little Women. And she co-wrote this with Noah Baumbach. And, you know, Frances Ha is an amazing movie too, that they're both obviously collaborated in. And so I trust that this is maybe the best you could do with this, but there is things that hold it back, I feel like, from completely getting there. So it's tough.
Like what? Get into it.
It's hard to escape the, like, you know, it works both ways. The production design's so good, but you're also like, oh yeah, that is a toy that you can go buy after this. If you can find a Toys R Us that's still open, probably just Amazon. So there is like kind of a nails on a chalkboard feeling to a lot of the product of it all. That is, it's just like really hard to ever completely rise above, I think. And so that is undercutting the kind of empowerment that could exist there, I think. I don't know. But it's not directed at me, though. No one else is talking.
We're just letting you finish your feminism opinion, Ben. Jeffrey, you're up.
I'm going to cut that down to like 10 seconds in the edit tops, too.
No, no. Keep talking about feminism. Show it.
It's just going to be where Bentley says, I think there should be less.
Jeffrey.
I didn't think about it too critically, to be honest. You know, I thought some of it was good. Some of it was whatever. You know, maybe it was just kind of, you know, superficial in a way, take on feminism. So I don't know. I thought it was all right. I didn't think it like went like way above and beyond in that way, though.
I mean, I think like a fairly obvious thought is like it's very, very hashtag girl boss feminism, in a way that, I mean, Ben, to your point, I think is palatable and money making. There is a lot missing. Oh, there's a lot missing. there's like no interrogation of like any form of intersectionality at all. Although they like, I think they think they did. And they're like, there are differing discourses around like how much of this was ironic. Like, was this an intentional critique of girl boss feminism? And I feel like that's perhaps not too much credit to give Greta Gerwig, but it's a lot of credit to give like mainstream movie production of this type. It's a lot of credit to give Mattel. So that's where I land. Aquiel, your hot take.
Yeah, I think I can go next. I think I agree with I agree with what you said. It was very girl bossy. Which I think works for a movie. I'm not necessarily mad at it in terms of like, you know, strictly written art. But if you're going to say that this movie is like feminism's next best thing, then I'm going to take like maybe a bit more of a critical eye. I think the two scenes that really, like when I think back, I'm like, oh, this may have looked different. are A, the arrest scenes, which I think touch on like, obviously the cops are being like super gross and they're like, oh, let her go because she looks good. You know, it's like not wonderful. And I think that like, and I love the trope of like people getting arrested over and over and over again. Love it. But if it's a movie about feminism, then I think there needs to be some reckoning with the realities of how that might have looked different for different types of women. That's A. B, I think the scene, America Ferrera's speech was wonderful. But then I'm like, who was allowed to kind of like give up? Not give up. I don't want to give up. But like, who's allowed to like kind of, you know, I don't know. Like, in my mind, Barbie is like living this perfect life, you know, and then it's like, I won't call it a roadblock because it's a very major thing, but like, you know, she's allowed to fall apart in a way that is not relatable in some ways, I think. And we lost Andy, and like I wish he was here. So like, I don't know, say yes or no. But yeah, those are my thoughts. I don't know.
I thought you were, when you mentioned America Ferrera, we're gonna mention her like smallpox line, which was also like, I was donezo
with that. Wait, what was I for, what happened?
He made a like joke about how, I'm trying to remember the exact context of it in the movie, but she made some joke about how, like, I don't want to even misquote it because it was pretty bad in and of itself. Let me see if I can find the quote. she was talking about how, like, basically this is like all this is all so bad. It's like smallpox with Native Americans. But I can't find the exact quote. And it was like, ooh, how did that get through like a whole? It wasn't even funny. You know what I mean? So there wasn't even like a ooh, cringe, like, you know, whatever. It was just like, how did that get through a writer's room?
But. Right.
Were you saying that you felt like Barbie was allowed to fall apart, or America Ferrera's character was allowed to fall apart?
No, Barbie was allowed to fall apart, and then yeah. America Ferrera was kind of left to pick up the pieces.
Oh, sure.
Weird Barbie and other Barbies, but it.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean though. She was like carrying a lot of emotional weight there. Yeah.
And I think in those moments, it was hard to separate Barbie from Margot Robbie. So I was looking and I'm like, girl, I wish, you know what I mean? Like, I had, but it's not Margot Robbie, it's Barbie, whatever. I love Margot also. Not a critique on her. She's great. She's awesome.
Yeah, I think
great.
She's able to bring something to the performance that makes it seem like there's maybe more there, you know? Like, you referencing the moments that made you cry, I feel like is a lot on Margot Robbie's performance, because the actual content of those scenes is fairly surface level for like self-realization or empowerment or whatever. But it's, you know, she has a way of making that feel true. And to that character, even though those are simple ideas for actual humans out in the world, that is news to that character, right? So... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think she's another one who can, like, she acts well with her whole self, but her face in particular, like, she's good at the, like, subtle realization moments. I happened to see it for the first time with a friend and her mom. So the mom momentness of the interaction with Ruth really hit me extra. I think it was I'm sure that was intentional. I think a lot of people, like, this was like a mother daughter moment movie for a lot of folks. It's precious.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I love the relationship between America Ferrera and her daughter. I don't even know their names in the movie. Yeah, I think that was done quite well. I honestly wanted to see a little more. Like, I feel like I wish we could explore, like, why it was so tense. I'm assuming, you know, right, like, normal teenage whatever, but I don't know, it just felt like a lot, you know what I mean? I'm like, why, what happened?
It does make for a couple good cutaways, but like, it seems like at first, oh, they must have some kind of unsettling in their home life, and you never really see the dad, so you think maybe that's part of it. But like, no, he's just not that involved. I guess
he's just doing Duolingo.
Yeah,
it feels like he felt like again, like it feels like he wanted to be around, but they were kind of sidelining him a little bit.
Yeah, like there's something going on there, maybe, or it's just.
I don't know.
Maybe there was more scenes with them as a family at some point, but they just had to make more room for people's input. The line that I was looking over here and not super responding, the line is when they get back to Barbie land and they're looking at all the Kens who took over and all the Barbies, it's how they, guess I contextualize, Margot Robbie asks, like, you know, what's wrong with them? And Gosling says, like, oh, we just explained to them, you know, patriarchy, and they crumbled immediately. I think it's America Ferrera's character. Unfortunately, it didn't say the actor's name, it just says the character's name. Gloria? Was that America Ferrera or the daughter? Probably America Ferrera.
I think it was America Ferrera. I think the daughter's like Sasha? I'm making it up.
That sounds right, yeah. She said, oh my God, this is like in the 1500s with the indigenous people and smallpox. They had no defenses. That's the line.
Yeah, it's just like they're, and I don't know if she was just supposed to sound like flighty or what, but I was gonna say not worth it, but there was like not even, again, it wasn't even funny, so there was not even a worth it calculation of that humor.
Yeah,
you know, I don't even know, I think it was like trying to bring in, like, I think that was like the intersectionality, which I don't know if it's better or worse than it being a joke, but like, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
The... That was like an earnest attempt.
I think so. Yeah. I do.
That's just sad, though. I mean, I guess that's like, in general, my feelings are like, were them being like, okay, like we have one Barbie in a wheelchair, we have one plus size Barbie, we have like, were they like, we did it, you know?
I think so.
like that.
Yeah.
you know what is the age group of the 90s kids on this call? Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants with America Ferrera. Excellent book / film. You want to just bring in Blake Lively?
Yeah, I've never read / watched that.
Oh, so good.
Is Alexis so Bledel involved though?
Alexis Bledel sure is.
She was probably She was definitely like the most prominent of that group at the time.
Excellent point. She sure was. And Amber Tamblyn, who's probably like the second, I would say she's maybe less famous than Alexis Bledel now, but yeah, America Ferrera and Blake Lively were the other two friends.
That's funny.
Not just say that they look exactly the same. It's actually kind of like,
yeah. The whole premise of that book is that there's a magical pair of pants that fits them all.
So the pants are actually magic? I thought it was just friends who sent each other pants in the mail.
It's friends who send each other pants in the mail, but it's one pair of pants and it fits all of them, even though they're very different sizes. And by very different sizes, I mean they're not that different of sizes, but allegedly they wouldn't have fit in the same pants.
Must be magic. All these people are wearing pants or something.
They are literally all the same size. I'm looking at the promo now.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Not in the book.
The poster that comes up for Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2, none of them are wearing pants.
They're wearing dresses. Yes. They're all wearing dresses.
Zero pants in that photo. No pants spotted.
You missed some good conversation, Andy.
Yeah, you missed the whole feminism thing, but
rascals.
That was our quota for feminism talk, so we can't go back to it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know.
More from Ben, I think, is what
we need. No, yeah. Aquiel said she would have liked to get your take on it too.
I would have liked to hear what everyone else had said, but I feel like it, like, how can a movie capture feminism, because there's so many complex things that go into like the very broad spectrum of feminism. Like I don't see how a movie, especially that has to base itself around dolls, can escape that like girl boss feminism that you were talking about, Kate. I think it did a good job. Like, it's what I expected it to do. I think if it had a different take, I mean, there's a lot of things that it could have included, right? But having like a different take on it, or I don't know, maybe a different approach, I think would have just been like a different movie. I don't know. Maybe tomorrow I'll feel differently. I don't know. I think it's hard.
Yeah. Do you, one of the things we talked about that you might have caught is whether or not within the confines of this movie, if it could have done anything differently or better.
As much as it was like a fantasy world, it was also based in reality a little bit. So like the Barbies that they had weren't like made up Barbies. They were like Barbies that existed. And like the facts of Mattel is that it's like a male run company. So I don't know like what aspects you could change within the movie that it wouldn't follow along with like what is actually going on. I don't know.
It makes sense.
I don't know. I think
I mean, the answer is probably yeah. I'm just trying to think of an example.
Okay.
I think this is going to sound real bad. And maybe they should not have done that, because I think then people would have had issues. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the issues with the movie is that, like, it has this, like, again, I really liked it. As a movie, it was good. It was great. Awesome. Amazing acting, amazing set, all of it. I think one of the things that it did was it pushed this idea that all Barbies were equal and all Barbies are not equal. And one thing they could have done, which would be so bad, but, like, Ken could have come back and been like, let's run it. And then, like, been a bit more specific and been like, Issa Rae, you shouldn't be president. Like, for many reasons, you know, like, maybe there's a tactful way to do that. Like, a way better way to do that. But, like,
yeah,
maybe God got some of those, like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it was very, like post-racial Barbie, you know. Yeah. It didn't acknowledge any difference among the Barbies in terms of, like, race, class, ability. It just, yeah, it was, and it was poking at, like, oh, everything's fine now from a lens of gender, ha 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 ha, but, like, they were also pretending everything was fine in terms of every other thing, and they just never interrogated that. So yeah, I think, like, it's a great point, Aquiel. Like, it, there was probably a way to poke at it, and that was the whole movie was poking at it, but just for, like, a thing, you know, and nothing else.
So how do we feel about her becoming a human at the end?
Love.
I think it's kind of the only way to end this movie.
Yeah, I think, like, it was, I can see why people didn't like that. And for those people, I just feel like it wasn't for them. Like, you either connected to it or you didn't, or you just, like, baseline enjoyed it or you didn't. That she, like, understood and acknowledged the hardships of being a woman in the real world, and she still wanted to go through it because she just, like, I don't know, I can't explain it. It's just, like, something that you connect to, that even though it's, like, can be very difficult for a lot of different reasons, that's still what she ended up wanting rather than live in, like, a perfect world that is, like, Barbie Land. I don't know, I really liked it. I really like that montage of, like, women and their daughter, like, mothers and daughters, and playing with Barbies and, like, all that, like, I don't know, feminine, maternal, all that stuff. It was really touching.
It makes sense to me.
I liked it. I liked the way they showed it. The gynecologist's office, I thought, was,
yeah,
like, kind of a cute thing, just because of, you know, the constant jokes about how none of those dolls have genitalia. And I like I thought the pink Birkenstocks were cute vehicle as well.
They sold out after the movie. You couldn't buy them anywhere.
Love that.
So it's, yeah, that happens. It's so hard to get pink Birkenstocks.
They also ran. Remember when they ran out of pink paint? The news was, like,
really?
There was, like, a shortage of pink paint because of the creation of the movie, like, for the sets.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh wow.
I remember seeing that. I don't remember if I fully grasped if that was a true, real thing or not.
Yeah, I just saw headlines. I didn't follow up on my paint.
Was it, like, just because of the sets, or was it because people were then, like, painting their houses and rooms pink too?
What I remember from the headlines of the stories is because they used so much pink paint on set.
That's awesome.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Like, we've cleared out Home Depot.
There's no more pink paint.
Like, LA Home Depots are just, like, done so.
Love that. It's fully done so, yeah.
Well, did Aquiel have any thoughts? Or you or Jeffrey?
I think I like that she stayed human. I think Yeah, I want to do more like thinking about like what the writer was trying to say with that. Because Barbie Land is so perfect. Why would you choose what's... So I don't know. I think I have to do some more thinking, but I did like it. And I like that it was a gynecologist and not an interview, because I thought we were going interview and they would have sealed the girl box. But yeah, I think it's really nice. That's a nice touch.
Yeah, I guess that is a weight on the side of they're self-aware of, you know, they're being ironically playing with the girl boss archetypes, but.
Yeah, that's fair. Mm-hmm. She was wearing a blazer.
So, this movie was nominated for 8 Oscars. It won 1 for the Billie Eilish song. And a lot of people thought Greta Gerwig got snubbed. Margot Robbie got snubbed, but. Mm-hmm. They were nominated in other categories, at least. Margot Robbie as a producer for Best Picture, Greta Gerwig and with Noah Baumbach for writing, and I don't know.
I thought they should have won set design.
Yeah, the Academy just loved Poor Things.
I have some thoughts about that separately, but no, they should have won set design, 100%.
Yeah, it was so magical and bright and nice and different.
You should watch Poor Things. Back to me.
Okay, but it's not going to change my mind.
I'm going to watch it. All I've heard are bad things, but I'm going to watch it. I'm going to get a fair
shake. Okay, I mean, you just saw it win 4 Oscars. So, like, you haven't heard only bad things.
I know. I am, like, so
curious. I'm so curious as, like, what accounts you follow, Aquil, because you always have, like, the tea on what people didn't like. And I'm just so curious because I never get that insight.
That's all I get.
The algorithm is just so different.
There's some weird Zoomer bubble that's just anti Emma Stone for some reason, I guess.
Really?
I guess.
I like Emma Stone.
Me too.
She's great. Yeah. You said she produced it? She produced the movie?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna watch it. And if you do an episode, please bring me back because I know I'm going to have thoughts.
It's our next episode.
Oh my God.
You better watch it. Wait, girl.
Okay. When is it?
Okay. All right. You have to. There's kind of already people on that episode. Like, I don't want to say you can't be on it, but. So, on a scale of 0.5 to 5, going up by halves, on any scale of your choosing, aside from stars, what would you give Greta Gerwig's 2023 smash hit sensation $1.4 plus billion making movie, Barbie?
I'm on 4 bags of popcorn. I don't know if there's popcorn in the movie, but I always do bags of popcorn. So,
yep. Keep the tradition alive.
Four beach.
That's funny. Well done.
I'm giving it 5 out of 5 rollerblades. Girl.
I had Bentley.
Okay. 4.5 out of 5 fireside renditions of Push by Matchbox 20.
I know we're not allowed to do quarter points here, but I'm going to do it.
Don't you do it. Don't do it.
Don't do it. You can't do it.
You can't do it.
You're not going to be welcome back on this podcast.
Whatever you give it, I'm going to round down. I'll be rounding down for the official recording.
All right. If you're going to round down for the official recording and just know in your heart that I was 0.25 higher than this, I would give it 4 unspillable glasses of milk.
That whole sequence with the Lizzo song's good, and then when it comes back again with stuff's going wrong, that's just good filmmaking.
It sure was.
All right, so that wraps up the Barbie portion real quick. Question that we ask to string together thematically every episode in a given month under a given themed umbrella. This month, that question is, if you could introduce any category at the Oscars not currently there, what would it be? Past examples have been best voice acting, best first feature, like a new director on the scene, best, you know, young performer, child actor.
I think best eyebrow work, like when actors have really good eyebrow expression.
Oh, wow. I just immediately thought of Peter Gallagher. he wasn't in any films this year, but this will work for at least one of us. He played Schmidt's dad on New Girl.
Oh, yeah. He's also on Grace and Frankie.
He's in a lot of stuff, but he's got prominent eyebrows.
Wait, who is he the dad? Is he?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, the Levies are a classic example of eyebrow work, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good one. Any other categories anyone wants to throw out?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say best set lighting, because I really like lighting. So I'm really picky.
If you have two different temperature lights in your outdoor facade, Jeffrey will be angry every time he walks by your house.
Okay, yeah, it's sloppy.
Yellow and white.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Billy, I think you should add best monologue. That's monologue.
All right. Any examples come to mind? I mean, the one from America Ferrera in this one has been referenced a lot in this, you know, the cultural conversation this year.
From this movie?
This movie, or just like generally movies? Like, what's something that you would have wanted to win this award at some point?
Okay, so I'm going to cheat because I don't watch movies, but...
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm going to pick a really niche one, but if you go up and look it up online, I highly recommend. The 12th Doctor, you can tell I'm a very big Doctor fan. The 12th Doctor gives a speech about war. It is...
Okay. What?
One of the best things I've ever seen.
Which actor was that?
My husband, Peter Capaldi. Yes, he was 55 at the time. No, I do not care. Yes.
It's like the oldest one.
Yes. Yes, he was.
Okay.
I look it up. It's so good.
Cool. That's a good answer. Did everybody go? I can't remember. Andy?
I don't know. I think this would go along with set design, so I think it's a bad idea. But I think, like, best color story or best, like, movie poster or something, like, along those lines, because I feel like that's what attracts me to the movie in the first place is, like, the colors that go together.
That's cool.
Or,
running into promo.
I like that.
Best promo. Materials.
Maybe? Yeah. Or, like, who is the prettiest, in my opinion? Something along those lines.
Specifically your opinion, like they have to ask you before they give it out.
That'd be awesome. It'd be even better if I got paid for it.
Be a lot of power though. Worry about that.
No, I wouldn't be.
Well, all right. That I think brings us to the end. Anything else we want to say about Barb before we go off to bed?
It was nice.
Okay. Thanks, everyone, for joining. We had Andy Aquiel, Jeffrey, Craig, and Kate here today. Thank you for joining. You can find our stuff on Linktree, linktr.ee/late-to-the-movies. The Ladies, our annual awards episode, where this time it's after the Oscars, so maybe we'll right the wrongs wrought by the Academy this time around. And you know that means I'm giving every award to Wes Anderson. I didn't even nominate Asteroid City. That was just messed up. Anyway, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for having
us. Oh, yeah. Thank you as well.
Thanks, Craig.
Thank you, Craig.
Thanks, Craig.
Yeah, Craig was mentioned before me.
Yeah, I had to get the boys in first.